I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good morning to you. Glad you're with us on this Thursday morning, a few minutes after 5. And I tell you what, it's gorgeous outside. About 62 degrees in my truck when I left the house this morning, and hence the pullover I've put on here. Just a little bit, just a touch on the chilly side. If you're heading outside to exercise or leave for work this morning, good for you. I'm not suggesting that if I didn't work this schedule, I would be up exercising. I don't want you to take that the wrong way. I'm not trying to encourage that behavior. I'm just saying that if you're having to head out to exercise this morning, this would be the time to do it. Ethan?
Yes, sir?
Someone has stolen the pen on this side of the desk again. If you could please replace that for me, I would appreciate that. I do not know where they go. There were 5 pens over here yesterday, and this morning there's no pen.
That would be over in the cup by Dan and Sue's.
Oh,
there's like 7 pens over there.
what are you suggesting here? Someone
I'm just
has...
saying maybe Ryan Wiggins collects pens.
Okay, well, I guess that's possible. Anyway, we're glad you're with us this morning. You know, normally we would have Mr. Dan Buck in here. He was supposed to be in here with us all week. What's a gentle way to put this? Dan is on the disabled list right now. Mr. Buck, in addition to his broadcasting prowess and his business prowess, because he's got some business interests outside of broadcasting these days, is also a baseball player. He has been for years. He still competes even now in a baseball league. And apparently at some point in a game last night, Dan somehow managed to dislocate his shoulder and was still texting us at 1:30 this morning from a hospital bed somewhere where he had to seek out medical help to get his shoulder put back in place. So Mr. Buck will not be joining us this morning. He said he was in much pain and he was going home to attempt to sleep this off. So just so you know, that's why Dan is not with us this morning. We will continue to monitor his progress. Is that what Ali Marmol would say? We'll continue to monitor his progress. We'll check in with our trainers and find out if he's ready for our game tomorrow morning. For sure, he won't be playing baseball tonight. We know that, right?
I highly doubt he's going to be ready tomorrow.
I don't know. His arm was in a sling. He sent me a picture this morning. His arm was in a sling. He was laying on a hospital bed, and they had finally managed to get his shoulder back in place. Now, I've never experienced that. Have you ever had a shoulder dislocated?
I don't know if mine was dislocated. I tore my labrum almost completely off skiing.
Ouch.
And it was the worst thing I've ever had. It felt like somebody put a
dagger in there.
No, I described to my wife when I hit, my arm went down, and it felt like somebody took like a like a broom handle and pushed my whole, I could feel it push up.
Oh.
And then when it finally came back down to my wife, God love her, was like, you're fine. Just keep skiing. So we skied the next day too. And I'm like, got my arm just twisted up, trying not to move it.
You skied with one arm?
Yeah.
That's insane. Is that just because you paid so much for the lift ticket?
Pretty much.
You didn't want to stop?
Yeah, I had the badgering for my wife. Like, come on, it's not that bad. I couldn't lift my arm like more than this, so it was like straight out.
Well,
and then I went and got 3 anchors put in my shoulder.
Did you have to have the complete surgery?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yep.
I've never had to have that. I've avoided it so far, and I'm hoping to avoid it forever because I got several friends, maybe one who's listening this morning, who just recovered from that surgery, and his arm was in a sling for 6 weeks.
Oh, I had 6 months. Like, just from trying to get it rehabbed and everything, it was not fun.
No, thank you. No, thank you indeed. All right. In light of the fact that Mr. Buck is not with us this morning, we are going to get to Tom Ackerman a little bit later. I promise you that. We have got, of course, Shannon Bream and Griff Jenkins, as always, on Thursday morning. We always get them on. This morning I've invited Hayden Padgett to join us. He's with the Young Republican National Federation to talk a little bit more about all of these crazy judges who are stepping in and sticking their nose where they have no business. What you find if you read these decisions they're making is they're not based on the law. They're based on the emotion of that judge who thinks that what Trump did was not fair. It was done out of questioning the motives of the president as opposed to ruling on whether or not what he did stands up to the law. That's why I think Trump wins these on appeal. And I think it's why he's so anxious for this to get to the Supreme Court. So we'll see where that goes. Like this situation with Harvard, for example. The judge basically said, well, you know, Harvard wasn't fair to Jewish students. There was definitely some anti-Semitism there. And as Laura Ingraham would say, you can hear the butt monkey coming. But, you know, he shouldn't have taken it out on them for purely political retribution. He was just mad at them, that mean old president, and he decided he was going to take away their funding for research just to get even with them. And he shouldn't do that. You could almost hear the whiny voice of this judge who made this decision, this Obama appointee who made this decision. You can hear it in the as you read the decision. Not the kind of person you'd want to be trapped with in a room somewhere. I mean, honestly, you'd want to climb the walls. So now they've got to appeal this thing. The Trump and here's my guess. My guess is Harvard is thinking right now, just shut up, and we want this thing to go away, right? They're not going to get that funding back, I don't believe. Plus, they've already pretty much agreed to a settlement with the Trump administration, not exactly to the extent that Columbia has, but they've largely agreed to a settlement. And now you got a judge sticking her nose in, and now the government, with a final Supreme Court decision on this, Donald Trump wins absolutely. Every other university in the country is now sorry that this court case made it this far, would be my guess on the whole thing. But what do I know? I am just a lowly radio host and not a political, not a lawyer, I should say. So we'll see where it goes. It will be appealed. We know that much, as all of these cases are. Wait for them next. They're going to sue over Donald Trump blowing up a boat with 11 terrorists on it bringing drugs to the U.S. because it's not fair. Those poor cartel members, I mean, they've got families too. They're just trying to feed their families and bring 1,000 pounds of poison to the United States. That, you know how much 1,000 pounds of fentanyl, you know how many people that could kill? Probably half the U.S. population. I don't know. Why would, if they were carrying a dirty bomb, would anybody have had any problem with this? No, of course not. It's just, it's silly season. It's anything anti-orange is kind of how this goes. Ethan, I have once again gone on my diatribe too long here. Why don't we get to our top stories, please?
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
You know, it's interesting that we're sitting here and we're talking about the so-called threats to the First Amendment when the biggest threat to free speech right now is the old guy that is sitting over in the Oval.
Oh, wait a minute. That didn't sound like Jasmine Crockett. This is not the same Jasmine Crockett I heard just yesterday, did it? Did that sound like the same Jasmine Crockett we heard yesterday?
Baby, because these people, they are crazy, because they always talk about how Christian they is. Yeah, I don't know how many of them on that side are getting divorced because they getting caught up sleeping with their co-workers.
Wow.
They have incompetent people. A guy like Gavin Newsom, he's the governor of a state that if we didn't go into Los Angeles with our soldiers, with our National Guard, you wouldn't even be having the Olympics there. They were going to take it.
Yeah. Donald Trump just still talking about sending troops to Chicago. And when he does so, he'll be fully within his rights because he's going to be sending them there to defend our immigration agents who will be going in for major sweeps. But, oh, by the way, the personnel carriers and the armed guards will be in areas where drug activity and murders are rampant.
I will introduce my friend Cortez. Come up and speak. Thanks, Cortez.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Tim.
I will introduce, that was Tim Burchett, a Republican, bumping fists with squad member Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Politics indeed makes for some strange bedfellows.
The NAACP is suing Governor Mike Kehoe, saying his special session called at the request of President Trump is illegal. The emergency redistricting focuses on District 5 in Kansas City.
Thank you, Corey, over at Channel 4. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Have you ever looked, raise your hand, unless you're driving, but keep the other hand on the wheel. If you've ever looked at the current congressional maps in Missouri, I'll wait. It's a joke. It is absolutely a joke. The current congressional maps in Missouri are drawn for a single solitary reason around Kansas City, which is where District 5 was. It looks like a postage stamp on a piece of paper that's 75 feet wide and 100 feet tall. Honestly, that's what they did. Every other congressional district in Missouri is huge. And the one in Kansas City is one little postage stamp drawn around the city limits of Kansas City to guarantee a seat for Emanuel Cleaver. It's gerrymandering at its worst is what it is, and we're about to fix it. And, of course, the NAACP can't have that because Emanuel Cleaver happens to be black. So they're suing to try to stop it. But they should applaud the fact that we're going to have fair, even districts across the western side of the state. It's even causing some changes over here. We'll talk more about it throughout the course of the morning. Stay tuned for that. Right now, we're going to get to our national anthem.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
All right, welcome back. I was thinking about my friend Sue Thomas there. She was telling us about traffic this morning. You know what I hate? I hate rush hour traffic, and I don't get caught in it all that often, so I probably don't have a lot of room to complain. My friends that had to deal with the I-55 mess, Ethan, for so long,
I still
don't have a whole lot to complain about, but I do have to deal with that problem out there on the Boone Bridge, and it in the evenings, like if you're coming through the Chesterfield Valley or you've been to the Valley for some reason, which I often am, and I forget and try to get on down there past Long Road, where basically Chesterfield Airport Road feeds into the interstate, it's always backed up. It's down to one lane, and it's the one lane that goes across the bridge. So then you're merging with traffic that's already on the interstate for people that were dumb enough to stay in the right lane. Here's a little tip for you. If you're on 6440 going west, where the highway splits just past Long Road and Chesterfield Airport Road, don't stay in the right lane. You got to get in the left two lanes or you're going to be in standstill traffic till you get across that bridge. I don't know why anybody would stay in that right lane, but some people do. If you're feeding onto the interstate, obviously you don't have a choice. But I think it would alleviate part of the problem there. I'm just trying to be a friendly commuter helper here. It would save you a big headache if you didn't get in the right lane. And yet I see people do it every single day. I will drive 2 miles out of my way just to get back on the highway at the new bridge up there, at the new entrance onto 40, just to avoid it, just to avoid getting stuck in that right lane. It's a complete nightmare. Yesterday, I had to end up taking my mom to the doctor because she's got a cold, which she may have given to me, if you hear me sniffling this morning. And so therefore, I was in traffic at 5 in the afternoon, 5:15, 5:30. And I'm listening to Sue Thomas on the Mark Rudin Show giving traffic updates. And of course, you know, it's slow in the valley leading up to the Boone Bridge. Yeah, it was slow, all right. People do not know how to drive when there's just the slightest variation in traffic patterns. It drives me crazy.
Do they give you enough warning to know that it's splitting up there? I wonder if people just get in there and then they're stuck.
No, you know they like, they warn you before you come down the hill into the valley up, the road splits. They warn you a mile and a half before you get to it. And still, people stay in the right lane. People are just mindless, I think, when they're driving. That's all I can attribute it to. And then so I get in the left lane because I'm going to stay in the left two lanes when I get up there. And inevitably, the left lane comes to a dead stop. Now, why is that? Because people are brake tappers.
Yep.
And you tap your brake, and the next person taps their brake, and everybody else has to tap their brake till the traffic behind you comes to a complete standstill. So there you have it. That's my rant for the day.
Public
we don't have Buck Don't Give
a
Bleep this morning, so you're getting a little, you're getting a little Mark Cox soapbox there on the traffic situation. So I don't know when or where that improves. We'll talk this morning a little more about the special session in Jeff City. You know, I was reading Post-Dispatch coverage of it yesterday, which is never a great idea. But, of course, here's how the Post-Dispatch plays it. They will tell you that the folks in Jeff City, the Republicans in Jeff City, are doing the bidding of Donald Trump. Trump-backed redistricting plan begins its trek through Missouri's Republican legislature. And, you know, I know that President Trump has encouraged this, but they refer to it as Trump's redistricting scheme. And the funny thing about that is when Democrats in Illinois, when Democrats in, I don't know, New Hampshire, when Democrats in Maine, when Democrats in California and all of these states that have gerrymandered the hell out of their state to deny Republicans congressional seats, I don't remember that being called a scheme. Do you remember ever reading the word scheme associated with what was clearly a nationwide effort to restrict the number of Republicans from these blue states? Nobody ever referred to that as a scheme. But suddenly, because Donald Trump sees opportunities where Texas and Missouri could add some Republicans to Congress, it's a scheme. So you see the clear difference in how they cover anything related to President Trump. Orange man bad syndrome is real. There's no doubt about that. All right. A quick break. We're going to be back right after this.
New York City mayoral candidate Zohran Mamdani says the White House is meddling in his race, responding to claims that the White House may offer positions to Republican Curtis Sliwa and independent incumbent Mayor Eric Adams.
It is not news that carries meaning because of any impact it will have on this race. We feel just as confident as we did yesterday that we will win this race in November. This is, however, about an affront to our democracy.
Adams and Sliwa have both denied these claims, insisting they have no plans to drop from the race.
Yeah, that was on Fox and Friends First this morning, in case you missed it. And is it meddling? I don't know. I mean, this guy is on track to win that New York mayor's race by 20 points. A socialist, and for those of you who I don't know, attended public school, that is a communist, right? That's for slow learners. That's what that is. That's somebody who wants the state to be in charge of your life, who wants to control rent prices, despite the fact that somebody owes a mortgage on those and invested in real estate so they could have rental property, and the government's going to come in and tell them what they can charge for rent. It's crazy. in a capitalist society that we allow that to happen. That though is the person appealing to the little green envy monster in people who are upset that somebody else has more than they do. So then you end up with a socialist like Mondami, who is a rich kid, right? Born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He's a limousine liberal. He can afford to be liberal. The policies he's making will never affect him. Policies on guns, policies on economics and rent, policies on state-owned grocery stores. I mean, none of it impacts the people at the top of socialism or communism, which has failed everywhere they've ever tried it. So now the word comes out that Trump administration, somebody in the Trump administration apparently leaked this, that they had gone to Eric Adams and considered offering him a job in the federal government to get him to drop out of this race. Because the idea is, like the gubernatorial primary in Missouri in 2016, had there only been two candidates in that race, for example, Catherine Hanaway and Eric Greitens, there's a really good chance Catherine Hanaway would have been governor that year instead of Eric Greitens. In a four-person race, everything gets watered down. And the three basically alternatives to Mamdani, none of them can win with the other two people in the race. They need to consolidate their numbers to have a chance against this guy, because all the crazy leftists are going to run out and vote. They'll have a moderate voter turnout, which is not great, in New York, which means it'll be overwhelmingly Democrats voting, and the Democrats are now the party of Mamdani. That's who they are. They've embraced him. Letitia James has embraced him. All the big Democrats have gone up there and wrapped their arms around this guy. Like, you want to have a socialist leading the largest economy in the United States, which is New York City. Wall Street, the financial powerhouse of the world. We're going to have a socialist leading that city. What in the hell has this country come to? So I don't know what ends up happening there, but I thought I'd let you know this morning that they're trying to address the egos in the room. Does anybody want Andrew Cuomo in charge of anything? Hell no. But would even Andrew Cuomo be a better option than a socialist? Yeah. Yes, he would. As much as I don't like the guy, if you could get Adams and Sliwa to drop out, maybe enough people would rally behind him to have a chance. If not, you're stuck with the new poster child for the Democrat Party, which, you know, at the end of the day, I don't live in New York City. I would never live in New York City. If this guy becomes mayor, it's going to be a worse disaster than the last socialist mayor they had. So we'll see what happens with that. I don't have any great confidence that whatever trickery they're trying here will work and prevent him from getting elected to begin with. Let's get back to our Jasmine Crockett story here, Ethan. Play the bite that we played here off the top, where she says Trump is the biggest threat to free speech right now. This is Congresswoman out of Texas, who, by the way, whose district was just eliminated in that redistricting. This is Jasmine Crockett yesterday. Cut one.
You know, it's interesting that we're sitting here and we're talking about the so-called threats to the First Amendment, when the biggest threat to free speech right now is the old guy that is sitting over in the Oval.
Yeah, the biggest threat to free speech, because Donald Trump is trouncing on the free speech of people. Whose free speech, just for example, has he trounced on? Would that be the anti-Semites on the campuses of universities? Is that free speech that he's trampling on? Where you're calling for the eradication of Jews from the face of the earth? That's hate speech, right? The left used to have a thing about hate speech. Basically, hate speech is anything they disagree with. But they did have standards about hate speech at some point in their lives. Now anti-Semitism is fully accepted and embraced by far too many leaders in the Democrat Party. Jasmine Crockett is one of them. But please tell me what an actress you have to be to speak like that one day, the day after you spoke like this.
Baby, because these people, they are crazy, because they always talk about how Christian they is. Yeah, I don't know how many of them on that side are getting divorced because they're getting caught up sleeping with their co-workers, staffers, interns, all the things. Yeah, you ain't got to believe me. Just go Google. You'll find some of it. I'm telling you, and the wives is being messy and petty. They putting it in the divorce. I'm like, ooh, that's got to be true because your lawyer would know that they're going to lose it if they.
Yeah. Just completely changes into a different person depending on which. I don't know if she was in theater at MICDS. We need to go back and talk to somebody who went to school with her at MICDS because she deserves an Oscar for her acting, that she is something other than a highly educated lawyer. She can turn into somebody who sounds like she grew up on the street just by snapping her fingers. She forgets everything she learned about grammar and everything. It's unbelievable that her supporters fall for that nonsense. But you can hear them whooping it up in the audience. They didn't care. Long as she sounded like one of the sisters, that's all that matters. It's just insane. By the way, I'm noticing on the chat this morning, Jason pointed out, Eric Greitens could have been our best governor ever. The deep state took him out. Now we have Kehoe. Lose. Back to the question of the primary back in 2016. Listen, Jason, if you've listened to this show for any period of time, you know that I went on for a long time about how Eric Greitens was wronged. He was. But a lot of his problems he brought on himself. He'll admit that. He made some dumb decisions, and they ended up coming back to bite him in the rear end. And his political enemies took full advantage of it. Many of them Republicans took full advantage of it to run him out of office on a rail. And a big reason, to your point, is that he wasn't bought and paid for by the lobbyists in Jeff City. And the fact that he didn't have any friends in Jeff City ultimately led to his demise down there more than anything else. Nobody was willing to stand up and defend him because all their lobbyist friends wanted him gone because he didn't bow to them. And, you know, you've since ended up with people that do or are willing to. That's the bottom. I don't disagree with the fact that Eric Greitens would have been a better option than Mike Parson. But at the end of the day, he kind of made his own bed and ended up having to lay in it. I don't know what else to say about that. He got screwed. He really did. He made some bad decisions prior to ever being elected, but had money not changed hands behind the scenes to get people to come forward and make allegations against him. That story was never covered when it happened. Wasn't covered till he got in office and they saw an opportunity to run him out of office on a rail, which they did. And they even, you know, used Kim Gardner as a pawn to put fake charges against him so they could get a mugshot, just like they did with Trump. The same, you've got Republicans in the state who did the same thing to Greitens the Democrats did to Donald Trump. And there wasn't nearly the outrage about it that there should have been among Republicans that they did that to him. And I've harped on that for the longest time. But that's neither here nor there. The point was, in a four-way primary, people can win who might not otherwise have won. He had a solid base, but had the other three people, there only been one instead of three, they wouldn't have split that vote. He would not have won that primary, is my point. I don't believe he would have won that primary. You can argue whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just making the point.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
That it is similar to what's going on up in New York. All right, we're going to get to a quick break. Remember, we got Tom Ackerman. He'll be back in studio with us at about 6:35 this morning. We can talk about the big Mizzou Kansas game coming up this weekend. I had opportunity to go to that game with field passes. Did I tell you that?
Yeah, I believe so.
But it's my granddaughter's second birthday party, and I refuse to miss that.
Way more important.
Way more, and I'll remember that a lot longer than I would have remembered being on the field at a Mizzou game. I'm sure, but I made the right choice. I'm convinced. We'll be back in just a minute.
We knew exactly who was in that boat, we knew exactly what they were doing, and we knew exactly who they represented. And that was Tren de Aragua, a narco-terrorist organization designated by the United States trying to poison our country with illicit drugs. We're not going to allow this kind of activity. You're poisoning our people. We've got incredible assets, and they are gathering in the region. And so you want to try to traffic drugs? It's a new day. It's a different day. And so those 11 drug traffickers are no longer with us, sending a very clear signal that this is an activity the United States is not going to tolerate in our hemisphere.
No, we're not. Pete Hegseth there, the war secretary, talking about thus blowing up that boat. And, you know, I have to think that I read a lot of spy novels, so I try not to let that color my opinion of situations like this. But in a lot of these spy novels, you detect the level to which our enemies are psychologically affected by the technology the United States possesses. It's fodder for spy books because it's the truth, right? If you can't take a walk and smoke a cigarette in the middle of the night if you're a terrorist somewhere in Afghanistan or Iraq, because you might just have a predator drone at 20,000 feet that you can't see, that you can't hear, and it's about to ruin your night. You just don't know. The psychological effect of that is hard to measure, but it's real. And did you notice where the Secretary of State went yesterday, where he was yesterday? He was in Mexico. So not only does the impact of something like that resonate with these narco-terrorists coming out of Venezuela, working for Maduro or whoever the cartel is down there making all this fentanyl and stuff they're trying to bring to the U.S., it also has an impact on governments, foreign governments. The president of Mexico has been very forthright in her opinion that the United States will never invade our sovereignty. They better leave us alone. Now, of course, she knows she has a cartel problem. For all I know, she's controlled by them. I don't know anything about her. I don't know how she got in office. But what I do know is that notoriously the Mexican government has been corrupt, and it's been corrupted by large amounts of money from these cartels. They make money. They want the government to leave them alone. They pay off government officials. Government officials leave them alone. Now they have a problem. And their problem is those predator drones are probably flying up and down the Mexico-American border, would be my suspicion, looking for truckloads of drugs being brought to the border to be snuck across. My guess is those guys saw that video too, don't you think? The impact of this is huge. And for all the mamby-pamby liberals out there crying over the fact that it wasn't fair, how do you know who was in that boat? We know exactly who was in that boat, and that's why we took them out. I mean, the isn't it refreshing to have a president that has the guts, the intestinal fortitude to go and do what Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth did? I think it is, because it sends a message that no amount of speaking, no amount of threats from the office of the president could ever duplicate what that one visual did yesterday of that boat blowing up and then sinking in the ocean. And good luck to anybody who's going to try to go down there and salvage it. I mean, it was in pieces. They sunk straight down to the bottom. And I don't know. I just wanted to point out the fact that, you know, Hegseth's like, yeah, we knew there. The president said we knew who was in the boat. We heard audio of their voices when they were making their plans to go down there and to sneak that stuff into the United States. So we knew exactly who they were. They know who they were. Maduro knew who they were. And my guess is he's struggling a little bit right now because of the technology of the United States of America. That's what I loved the most about that whole incident yesterday. Here was the president on it.
What was found on that boat, and why were the men killed instead of taken?
On the boat, you had massive amounts of drugs. We have tapes of them speaking. It was massive amounts of drugs coming into our country to kill a lot of people. And everybody fully understands that. In fact, you see it. You see the bags of drugs all over the boat. And they hit. Obviously, they won't be doing it again. And I think a lot of other people won't be doing it again when they watch that tape.
And he admits why he did it. He admits it. Like, we could, wherever you are right now smuggling drugs, those people know that there could be a predator drone watching them. Middle of the night, middle of the day, doesn't matter when it is, our technology has reached that level.
The president's been very clear that he's going to use the full power of America and the full might of the United States to take on and eradicate these drug cartels, no matter where they're operating from and no matter how long they've been able to act with impunity. Those days are over. We are going to wage combat against drug cartels that are flooding American streets and killing Americans.
Yeah, that along with the bunker busters or the mother of all bombs or whatever the bomb was we dropped on the Iran nuclear facilities. If you combine all of that, you can bet that in the conversation yesterday with the Chinese and Russian and North Korean leaders, they all know it too. They're not dealing with a dementia patient in the White House anymore, and that is invaluable to the United States and to all of us. Just keep that in mind. All right, quick break here. Next hour, we've got Tom Ackerman. We can talk a little bit more about maybe the Chiefs game coming up this weekend, if you care about that. Certainly the Mizzou, Kansas game will loom large if you're a college football fan, a Mizzou fan. We'll get to that for you straight ahead.